Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And in the last couple of weeks, we've been on a topic or a series titled Natural Food and Spiritual Food. See, there are two main types of food, which is the natural and there is the spiritual. So in chapter 8, verse 3 says, so he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna. So God is saying to the children of Israel in the wilderness, because the Deuteronomy is Moses recounting, he's giving an account of all that has happened during the time of their transition from Egypt to the promised land. And so he's saying that God humbled them. You know, it's good to be humble. Hallelujah. And I was saying this morning that the main sin Satan committed for him to become Satan is because of pride. Satan, God did not create Satan. You know, some people say, well, why did God make Satan then? And he's causing all the havoc in the world. God made an angel. Satan was an angel, and just like we have angel Gabriel, angel Michael, we had angel Lucifer. That was his name. And the Bible says he said, I will rise above the Most High. He didn't just say he will be like the Most High. He says, I'm going to rise above him, and he was brought down. And that's when he became Satan. And that's how evil entered the world. That's the original picture of God's intention for earth, for humanity. You will see that just before Adam and Eve fell. You will see that Adam and Eve were created everything they needed. God provided. And what they did is God will come down in the cool of the day. They didn't have to suffer. They didn't have to sweat. There was no death. They were designed to do what? To live forever. But after they fell, Satan came. He actually turned from, he now became what? He became the serpent, became Satan. Hallelujah. And so God said, he comes to his people and he says, I humble you. Because humility is key to walking with God. God does not want us to trust in ourselves. The Bible says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And he allowed you to hunger. One of the things we've said is that hunger is not bad. Amen. Do you know, if you're never hungry, you will never know to eat. Can you imagine if you're never hungry and you never eat? What's going to happen to your body? The body will starve and it will eventually die. So he's saying here that God made them hunger and he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. So God sent manna from heaven. And I said to you that it was possible for God to have turned stones into food for them. Couldn't he? He could have, but he chose not to. He chose to send food from heaven. Why did he do that? God was already bringing out a picture that you don't live by what you see only. You are not to conduct your life by all the things that are happening around you and are happening around you in the world. God wanted them to look up. He wanted them to look up to him. So he fed them with manna that he, keep going, might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So man shall not live by bread alone. So what is bread? Bread is natural food. You know, we all know to eat natural food, isn't it? Whenever we're hungry, we have our pastas, we have our pizzas, we have our vegetables, I hope. The fruits and veg, five a day, isn't it? So we know to do that, and we know the benefit of that to our bodies. But notice what the Bible says. It says you don't live by bread alone. You can live by bread, but not alone. Because there is something beyond the natural. You are a spirit. Every person who is born into this world is born a spirit. So the spirit needs to be fed. And so God is bringing a consciousness of the spirit here. And it says, but by every word. And what does the spirit need as food? The word of God. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So as I'm living in this world, I am not living by natural desires only. Because natural desires will never, ever bring me satisfaction. Never. And what it also means, when it talks about natural, talks about food, is also talking about work. All the things we engage in this world. You know, there are people who live for their work. Their work is their life. But the Bible says, you shall not live by the things on this world. Anything in this world, you don't live by them alone. They are there, they are available for you to use. But you don't live by them alone, because what the things of the world will do to you, they will continue to create a craving. And you will notice in the world, what we have is the people, when they pursue the things of the world, they are never satisfied. See, if they pursue money, they will never get to the point and say, you know, I've had enough. You know why? Because you shall not live by bread alone. There is another food that will bring satisfaction. That's what the Bible is saying. And we've read that John chapter 6 and all of the scriptures that we've looked at. I'm just kind of summarizing for those who have not followed the teaching. So we're living not by bread alone, but by every word. You know, sometimes people buy property and say, you know, when you buy your first property, you're excited. Then when more money comes, what do? You buy, say, I'm going to buy a second one. I'm going to buy a third one. And then someone said, no, I haven't bought one yet. Amen. But guess what? When people go after things, they keep going for more. Why would they keep going for more? Because they are not satisfied. It's God saying you shouldn't have things, but he's saying you should not live by things alone. Alone. The key word there is alone. But you shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Hallelujah. So God gave us natural food, gave us natural things to enjoy, but he doesn't want us to live by them alone. It says, what's that scripture? I think it's Matthew chapter 5, towards 30-something, that says seek the Lord your God. Seek the Lord. The kingdom first. 6:33. Seek the kingdom. And all these things. So you seek first the kingdom. So which comes first? The kingdom always has to come first. God always has to come first. But guess what? God is telling these people, because it is so easy to live by what you see, what you can feel, what you can touch. So God had to send manna from heaven. He said, the reason I sent it from heaven is so that every time you see manna, every time you go to work, every time you gain anything in this world, it is to remind you that you will not live by those things, but you shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go to Luke 12, and we've used many scriptures to try and illustrate these. You can go online and get the series. Just listen to the ones that we've addressed already. I will particularly recommend this Friday service to everyone here who was not there. But Luke chapter 12, look at it. Say, and he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. Beware of what? Covetousness. What's covetousness? Greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. So my life is not determined. My life is not measured. That's what the New Living Translation says. My life is not measured by the things I have. So, got a car, a house. What else do we have? Properties and things like that. Maybe you have 10. Some people have 10 TVs in their house. Amen. Hallelujah. How many can you watch? Yeah, you say, oh, my son will watch for my daughter over there. And all of that. Those things don't bring satisfaction because they don't measure your life. The quality of my life, this is Jesus speaking. He said, take heed. He's giving a warning that you should beware of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Then he begins to tell us a story. Verse 16. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my goods? I don't have enough room. So what do you think this man is living for? He's living for the things he will have. His life, his prosperity, his joy, his peace on earth is based on what he has. Does God not want you to have things? Oh, yes, he does. But he doesn't want things to be your focus. He doesn't want things to be your life. They don't measure. You see, if I met somebody who had £1 billion, and you have another person who has £1 million, and another person who has £1, how will you value them? That's a good question, isn't it? You see, in this world, you will place more value on the one with £1 million. So the one who has £1 million has less value, isn't it? And you know that's the way we relate to people in the world. You relate to them by the abundance of things that they have. But Jesus says that does not define them. It doesn't define the quality of their life. And this is important because that is bread. Everything in this world is bread. It does not qualify a person. It doesn't determine that. See, the man with a £1, if they know their value in God, they can be happier than the person with £1 billion. In fact, the person with £1 billion can have sleepless nights. And the person with £1 can go to bed and sleep and snore. Glory to God. In fact, when the alarm rings, they forget to wake up. You have to literally and wake them up. But the man with £1 billion can't rest. He can't sleep because your life is not dependent on the things you possess. So when I have things, I give thanks to God, but I recognize that I need spiritual food. My spirit needs real nourishment. And the nourishment for my spirit that will bring satisfaction to me is what? The word of God. It's the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word. See, the word you're listening today will bring more satisfaction to you than any other thing you could ever acquire. And that's important to know that. You know, that's humility. It humbles you because if you think that what I'm acquire is what will bring me satisfaction, that's pride already. That's pride. Because I'm saying I've worked for my satisfaction. But your satisfaction doesn't come through your labor. It comes through the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. So let's see this man say, I will do this. This is what I'm going to do. I will pull down my barns. And the reason he's doing all of this is because he's living primarily for what he has. That's what he's living for. He has no other life. Amen. They say, and I will build a greater one. And then I will store all my crops. So you see what? See the picture now. He lives to acquire things. And he keeps acquiring, and he gets to the point and he says, what am I going to do? You see, it's like, okay, this is what I'll do. I'll store it up. Verse 19. And I will say to what? My soul. So, you have many goods. Can you see that? Can you see? The Bible says, he sent you manna that he may do what? He might humble you. He might humble you so that you would not be proud because things make you proud. Oh, my God. You know, a lot of the pride that we have is because of the things that we have. Did you catch that? But God said he sent you manna so that you will know that it's not any of the things here on earth that is going to satisfy you. None of them. None of them. I've known many people constantly unsatisfied. You know, we read about that woman in John chapter 4. And you see that what things do when you go after things, they create a craving. You know, some people, maybe they lost after sex. Let's say, for instance, you know, there are many things that you can crave. People crave sex. And then maybe they move from one man or from one woman to the other, isn't it? So why do they keep going? And then you see this one and say, you know, I really love you. I love you with what? All my heart, all my soul, all my being. You know why they're saying that? Because of what they want to. And then once you have it, what happens? Then you begin to crave another, another, another. You know what? I said every deficiency in life is a cry for help, a cry for spiritual food. The moment your spirit has been nourished and your spirit is satisfied, you know what happens? Anything that is physical, that is natural, doesn't move you anymore. Glory to God. It doesn't move you. You can have it, it won't disturb you. If you don't have it, it will not disturb you. Glory to God. It does not define. A man's life is not defined by the abundance of things he has. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Every word. This is how we must live. Every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. So he says, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. I thought he should have taken his ease a long time ago. So now he says, eat, drink, and be what? Be merry. And you know, when he's eating, drinking, and merry, he will still be thinking of those things. But let's see what the Bible says here. Next verse. But God said to him, fool, that it is as foolish to live by things alone. It's not the right way to live. This night, your soul will be required of you. Then whose? Now, this is key. This is why you shouldn't go after things. When we depart, you know, we're talking about departing, when my end is come. You know, there's a time, and you said it rightly. We must never live as if there will be no end to this world. This world is not where we are meant to be. You see, the best life you live on earth is the worst life you will ever live as a believer. Did you catch what I just said? Compared to the kingdom life that Christ will bring when he returns, doesn't matter what, the best life you will ever live on earth is the worst. It's nothing to be compared to the life we will live in eternity. So now this man, he thinks, because of all the things he's acquired, this is life. But look at what happens. It says, now, this night, your soul will be required of you, then whose will those things be which you are provided? You know, Solomon talks a lot about this in Ecclesiastes. You know, that people go after things and it's what? Vanity upon vanity, all is vanity. It's all emptiness. Emptiness, because you will leave it and someone else will come. And you know, the people that will come and have it, they might just squander it and just waste it. So what is Jesus saying to these people? That we should beware that man does not live by things alone, but by every word. But let's say this man has lived to serve God. Is that the end? That's not the end. Because he will receive rewards here on earth and reward in heaven. Let's look at the next verse. It says, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So the key thing is being rich toward God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So do not live by the things of this world alone. And on Friday, I just want to continue. On Friday, we talked about the seven components of a balanced diet. Seven components of a balanced diet. And do you have a display of those components? And so if we take in carbohydrate, it gives you quick and efficient energy. And if we take in proteins, protein is number two. What does it give you? It repairs, it grows an efficient working of all the body tissues. How about fats? They provide energy They protect vital organs. And we didn't notice, all you have to do is eat these items. Once you consume them, you get the benefits. You don't have to understand how they work. I know there are people who are scientists or biologists or doctors and medical people. They know how the process works. But you don't have to know it. You just have to eat it. How about minerals? What do? The bone, growth, strengthen the nervous system, fiber. What do they give? Okay, you can see there. How about, did I mention minerals already? How about water? It helps to carry nutrients and it removes waste. Hallelujah. So if these are the benefits of natural food, and the Bible says you don't eat by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, then the word of God has to have its own benefits as well. And the benefits of God's word, spiritual food, has to be greater than the natural one. So we said number one, we looked at it on Friday. The first one we looked at was what? The fruit of the Spirit. So number one is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 22. When I take in the word of God, it will give me, or the fruit of the Spirit will manifest in my life. Say, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. How many people have eaten pasta and it has given you lasting love? It never does. Amen. So you can't pursue natural things and get lasting love. You can't. It might give you love to a degree. Maybe after, maybe someone prepares for you a very nice dinner. They say the way to a man's heart. I don't know why they say it's only a man's heart. So I know some, you know, you can prepare a nice meal and get into a woman's heart as well. Hallelujah. Is that possible? Okay, so the way to a person's heart is what? Complete it for me. It's through their stomach. Glory to God. That is what they are saying, is that through food, you can capture somebody's belly. Hallelujah. You can capture their heart. Amen. But that is not scripture. Did you know that? It says, well, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. So if I take in the word of God, I want you to see what's happening. Because Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, what's going to happen? He says, you will bear much fruit. So the word of God is what enables this fruit to be able to germinate and be produced in your life. Love. If you want to have lasting love, joy, peace, patience. You know, somebody says, well, you know, I just have a problem with patience. Keep taking in the food. Because if you take carbohydrates, what do you get, please? What do you get? You get energy. You don't say, well, you know, I don't have energy. If you don't have energy, what do? You eat carbohydrates. Don't eat too much. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you need repair of your bones, what do you eat? You eat proteins. So if I need patience in my life, I take in the word of God, because the word of God is what comes into my spirit, and my spirit begins to produce. It produces long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Is that all the list? Amen. How many of them? Gentleness and self-control. Have you got the pages? Is there? Okay. I haven't got it here. Glory to God. So this is what it gives you. Number two. What the spiritual food will give to you. A strong and a growing relationship with God. Let's go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 23. Do you have it? It says, God is a spirit. Is that why it says it? A growing and a stronger. What did I say? What was the second one I said? A strong and a growing relationship with God. That's it. Okay, let's go to John 15, 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, what will you do? Now, this is not the one I'm looking for. Does anyone know the scripture I'm looking for? You say, Pastor, how can I know that? Amen. Glory to God. Okay, don't worry. Let's go to answered prayers. That's the third one. The third one is answered prayers. We will come back. I'll give you the scripture for that one. But as you receive the word of God, you will grow in your relationship with God. Number three is answered prayers. John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, what will happen? You will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. So answered prayers. Answered prayers come when you abide in the word of God. You are able to ask correctly from God because you know what God's mind is, what God desires for you. And so as you take in the word, every time you talk to God, you seek the word of God and you ask him for anything, the Bible says it will be done for you. So answered prayers is one of them. You know, eating natural food does not bring you answered prayers. Hallelujah. But eating spiritual food will bring answers to your prayers. Hallelujah. The next one is prosperity and good success. Prosperity and good success. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Verse 8. Say, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate day and night. Says meditate on the word. What does it mean to meditate on the word? To think on it. To ponder on it. To put it through you. Let it go through you. Continue to ruminate on it. Now we talk about all those animals that are ruminants. What do? They take in food. And then when they take in the food, they bring it back up again. They chew it. They take it back in. So as you continue to hear the word of God, to think on the word of God, to meditate on the word of God, it's doing something. Just like the protein, the fiber, and the minerals are doing something to your body, so the word of God is doing something to your spirit. Hallelujah. He says, if you do this, what will happen? That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then, the scriptures, for then you make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So by meditating on the word of God, just thinking on God's word, hearing the word and thinking on it and meditating on it, I am able to make my way prosperous. Hallelujah. And you know, when you prosper through the word of God, there will be no stress. If you prosper only through your effort, there will be a lot of stress. There will be a lot of worry. There will be a lot of issues. You will get into the rat race that everybody is involved in. But when you meditate on the word, when you stand on God's word, when God's word says, you know, when God's word says, I will prosper you. What's that scripture again? I'm asking you a lot of scriptures, isn't it? Amen. In 1 John. Beloved, I wish above all things that you do what? That you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, you know. So the word of God says he wants me to prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. You know how your soul will prosper? When you put in the word of God into your soul. So I'm putting the word into my soul. I told you I used to be very ill, very sick. I used to be taken from hospital to hospital. You know, my parents had 7 children. I was the only one born in the hospital. You know, it looks strange to many of you. In those days, my parents, and I'm not too old. You know, don't think I'm coming from 1800s. No. Amen. But that is it. They didn't have a lot of money. They were, you know, in those days, it was people who were kind of educated who went to the hospital to give birth. How many people were born in the hospital here? All of you. Amen. So I'm not with the right people here. And the reason I was born in a hospital was because after, you know, I'm the fourth now, but after three children, my mom had two others because they were born in the traditional way, and there were some complications, and they died. So someone told my mom, my dad, and my mom, I said, look, now that you're pregnant again, you better go to where? To the hospital. Of course, I was born in the hospital, but then all my life was sickness. Always ill, always sick. And I think from the time my mom gave birth to me in the hospital, she just kept carrying me from one hospital to the other. I got used to taking all kinds of medication. And in fact, I used to have high fever, just fevers and fever, temperature and everything. It used to disturb my studies, disturb everything in my life. And I told you that when I went to university, my mom actually went to a doctor. She went with me. Can you imagine a university student? Because my mom, all her mind every time is, I don't want him to die. I don't want him to, no, he's not sick. I don't want him to die. So she went to the doctor and said, look, doctor, this is the history of my son. Anytime he comes, she paid them in advance. In advance. She paid the hospital in advance because by this time God had already blessed her. Amen. So she paid and said, when he turns up, don't even ask him any question. Just give him the injection straight. Amen. Because tablets could not cure me. They couldn't help me. I would take as many tablets as possible. I would not be able to get up from bed. It was always what? So as soon as I got to the doctor, I was ready. I can, you know, when people are scared of vaccination, all I just go there, they put it, nothing. Doesn't move me. I've taken so many injections into this body. But man shall not live by what? By bread alone. Injections are bread alone. But I would do that, and it would get worse. But I know, thank God for doctors, amen, and thank God for hospitals. So I kept going. And then I've shared the account with you when I met my wife and we got into the Word. We began to look at God's Word. What does God's Word say? By His stripes, you are healed. Now, so the natural one says, go to the doctor, and the doctor will do what? So I still kept going to, even as I was reading that, I kept going to the doctor. But when it dawned on me and I looked at it, then there was a day when the sickness came. It was so serious. I was cutting with my wife at the time. Every time she came to visit me, I wouldn't be able to. You know, as a man, you don't want a lady to come and see you and you can't get up. What kind of man is that? And you know, so when she's about to come, I'm trying to look like I'm no chance. No chance. But so when we got into the Word, I began to eat that Word. I began to confess the Word. Say, by His stripes, I am healed. You know, as I was saying it, I was still feeling sick. The pain was still there. The fever was still there. But I kept saying it. I kept declaring it. By His stripes, I am healed. Many things that happened. I remember there was a time that, you know, just before we got married, I told you, I just woke up one day and just realized that I was paralyzed on one side of the face. And we went to doctors, from doctor to doctor and everything. I didn't realize God was preparing me for what was about to come. And each doctor would say, well, you know, the nerves and all of those things have. The Bible says, you shall have whatsoever you say. Say, if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea and shall not doubt in your heart, you shall have whatever you say. That's Matthew 11, 23, 24, 22, 23, 24. I began to declare the Word. Because what carbohydrate would do to your body, the Word of God would do what it says in your spirit. He would do it in your spirit, then it will manifest in your body. Even as your soul prospers. How will your soul prosper? When you put in the Word of God. The Word of God has to go into my soul. So I kept saying it. I kept declaring it. And then the last one that came, This was like the fever of all fevers. And I told myself, this is it. If I die, I die. I'm going to stay on this Word. This Word has to work. Then after that, I got up till today. Hallelujah. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Every time I feel any kind of ache or anything in my body, what do? By his stripes, I am healed. I am healed. Keep saying it. It is medicine. It is spiritual food. Don't just live by what? By natural food alone. Don't live by paracetamol alone. Don't live by what? What else? Ibuprofen alone. I'm not saying don't take paracetamol, don't take ibuprofen, but you must make sure that man does not live by that alone. Man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you notice when the doctor now said we couldn't have children, it was easy. You see, because you can say, well, the doctor can help me with fever. The doctor might be able to help you with another condition. What if the doctor says to you, the doctor says, I can't help you. I cannot help you. Then what do you do? You know, sometimes we say, what we do, the Lord says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding in all your ways. What scripture is that? Proverbs? You know, I'm testing you, testing that you know the word. Amen. Because how will you be able to speak the word if you don't know it? Hallelujah. Proverbs 3 from verse 4 or from 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not under your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Praise God. And so we began to declare the word. My wife and I began to declare the word. What happened to my body? When the doctor said, you have zero sperm, you can't have children. There's no way we can help you. When the doctor said that, now I'm saying, I keep repeating these testimonies for a reason. It works. Now, some people might be doubting and say, but you can't. You see, can you imagine if I'm swimming in water and I'm doing breaststrokes? What other stroke can you do? Backstroke. And someone is telling you that pool hasn't got water. Will you listen to them? Because you are doing breaststroke and you are swimming in it, so there has to be water in it. It works. I've tried the word of God, and it always works. Even this week, I'll tell you, I was feeling so strong in the body. So strong. I was in the room, and it's like, woof. And then it occurred to me, man shall not live. See, even as a pastor, you forget, isn't it? Because I was on the bed, I said, okay, I'm going to, because I like to be strong, amen. But you can't be strong in your own strength. And I began to declare. I began to rebuke the fever. I said, come out. I began to declare it. And before I knew it, I just got up. And look at me here today. Glory to God. It works. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes. So answered prayers is something that you get when you live by the word. Say, meditate on it, you will make your way prosperous and you shall have good success. Do you want to prosper in your life? Take in the word of God. Take in God's word and you will prosper in everything you do. You will prosper in your marriage. If you're struggling in your relationship, begin to declare the word of God. Speak the word of God. Use the word of God and you will see prosperity in every area of your life. You will see good success. Notice it says good success, because there is success that is not good. But the word of God always brings good success. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, we'll continue the rest of these seven benefits. We'll continue on Friday. But let me just tell you something about the word. Job chapter 34. Job 34. Hallelujah. As we close. Job 34 says something, verse 3. For the ear tests what? Words. Test words as the palate tastes food. In order for the word of God to benefit you, you have to hear it. See, you eat food through your mouth. You eat the word of God through your ears. This is how the word works. You have to take in the word. You see, the words that you're hearing right now, they are going in. The Bible says, incline your ear unto my saying. So as you take in the word of God, when you go home, meditate on it, what you've heard today. Take that word and say, Lord, your word says, by his stripes, I am healed. I am healed. The same way that you will go to that medicine counter and take that tablet and take that medication and eat it through your mouth. He says the word, the ear tests words as the palate tastes food. Lord, I am declaring your word. You know, David says something. Once has he spoken, twice have I heard. How can someone speak once and you hear it twice? It means when God said it, I repeated it. See, when God said it, I heard it once. And then I repeated it to myself and I heard it the second time. Your ear has to hear the word so that it will go into your soul. When it gets into your soul, after a while, you will see it will begin to work. In fact, you get to the point when you start knowing. You know, I remember when we, you know, when we began to declare the word, my wife and I concerning having children, my wife would come to me and say, maybe it's going to be this month. So now we're not thinking that it will not happen. We are thinking when. So she will say, and then I will come home from say, And then, you see, before this time, every time she saw the, you understand what I'm talking about. Every month when the cycle happened, we were always down. So, But now that we've started taking in the medicine, the spiritual food, we are no longer down. So if it's not January, it's going to be when? February. And if it's not February, it's going to be March. If it's not March, it's going to be April. Because what happens? The word of God also gives you patience. It gives you everything. All of the rice and jollof rice I ate all my life did not give me patience. Glory to God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It didn't give me, but as I began to take in the word of God, now we have patience. We're waiting. And I remember my wife said, I think it should happen before Christmas. Are you getting what I'm saying? But you have to keep administering it. Keep hearing it. Let your ear continue to hear the word. Faith comes by what? Hearing. By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Let's begin to just speak the word right now. Whatever the situation is that you are going through right now, I know you have tried different things. You might have even tried counselors and helpers. But the Bible says, don't do that alone. You don't live by that alone. You might have used your own effort. You've used your own wisdom. You've tried everything in that situation. I want to say, Lord God, I've taken your word. I accept what you have said today. That natural food has its benefits, but I receive the benefits of your word, spiritual food, in my life, in my job, in my business, in my family, in my home, in our church. Thank you for the benefits. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.